got, Scott, is the backing of federal health officials. Major League Baseball and now the Major League Baseball Players Association have been in touch with officials from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, as well as the National Institute of Health. And what they have come to terms with is that the likeliest way that baseball is going to be back in 2020 is if they follow this plan. Now, it's a difficult plan to follow, but I think it's one that as time goes on, they've come to terms with the idea that they are going to have to.
That is Jeff Passan on ESPN talking about the backing of health organizations that Major League Baseball has right now,
and yeah,
at least going down the road of possibility on this Arizona return plan. Arizona would be the home of Major League Baseball. That sounds very weird.
Mm-hmm.
But all 30 teams would, under this plan, relocate to Arizona, play all the games here without fans, and I think that is a stumbling block for some, not necessarily in the plan itself, but in terms of the understanding of this plan. I've seen a lot of people on Twitter saying things like, oh, I can't wait to go to this game, or I can't wait to go to that game since all the teams are going to be here.
No, you're not going
to the game.
Yeah, that's what I think has to be. You have to remember this here, that Major League Baseball, if they're going to attempt to do this, they're going to do this in a way where you're not even going to know that these players are here.
Yeah.
And you're going to see them on via broadcast, but it's going to be different and weird. And as Jeff Passan said, it's going to be like baseball on Mars. And that's important to remember, because the idea of it being too hot to play baseball, yeah, they're major league athletes. They can get around that. The idea of, well, we could spread this to the community, not if they remain sequestered. Now, can you trust young baseball players to stay sequestered? Well, you're going to have to. And you're going to have to, I'm sure there'll have to be security measures involved, not only mm-hmm. to keep people from coming into these hotels, but from people to protect people from, or to keep them from leaving.
Would they be able to resist making this a reality show?
Well, that's a great question.
Throw more people in the mix.
Yeah, well, right.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Well, I think it's really important to recognize that this is not a pie in the sky idea that is just ridiculous. It sounds to me like they're a few steps down the road. If Jeff Passan is claiming that there's already been clearance attained, well, that probably means Doug Ducey has signed off on it. I'm guessing it means that Major League Baseball and Rob Manfred are convinced they'll have the president's backing on this and enough political juice to make this kind of happen. I get there's a lot of concerns about this, but if you leave this question up to the athletes, if you want to be a part of this, we are doing this because this is the only way you are going to get paid, and it's the only way we are going to have baseball. Then I think it kind of changes the conversation a little bit.
Yeah, in terms of the fan aspect, just to tie a bow on that, and I described this to Jared already during a commercial break. If this happens and Major League Baseball is in Arizona, it's basically going to be like the same experience I had during games 3, 4, and 5 of the 2001 World Series.
Yeah.
There's baseball happening in the city that I'm in, but I can't watch it in person.
That's exactly what it would be.
I have to watch it on
television. That's exactly what it would be.
Jeff Passan also shared some more details on this baseball biosphere for Arizona, what that might look like.
If they get to the point where they are ready to go inside the biosphere, here's what's going to happen. There's going to be a two-week period, and this could be a two-week period that is used as the new spring training, where players, coaches, managers, everybody inside of there are getting tested. And look, those tests need to be available in an abundant quality to ensure that baseball players aren't getting the same criticism that NBA players got. Like, hey, why are these people getting tested when those who are actually sick can't? So you need a lot of tests, and there's the expectation that that's going to happen. If someone gets sick at that point, what doctors and public health officials have told Major League Baseball and the players is that you do not necessarily have to shut down. If we have the testing, if we can contain this, if the entire room has not been infected, well, we're going to have much bigger rosters. And that is a big part of this whole plan. Because, Scott, when you take into account the possibility of even a small outbreak inside of a clubhouse, as well as playing in the heat, which in Phoenix is going to be 100, 110 degrees during the summer, you're going to need a big roster. And that's something that I think Major League Baseball is willing to get on board with, and certainly the players are going to want.
Yeah, I mean, that was another thing that we didn't bring up in our previous conversation about this is, you know, obviously this is based on frequent, abundant testing of the players in this biosphere bubble, whatever terminology you want to use. And, you know, the NBA has talked about it. We'll get into some NBA talk in just a bit here. The NBA has talked about the availability of these quick tests, basically, which could garner results in 15 minutes. Obviously, if that became a reality, you're talking about a situation. And one of the big things I had was going back to that night that the NBA suspended operations when the doctor from, Oklahoma City runs on the floor and says, hey, or Utah runs on the floor and says, we can't, you know, Rudy Gobert tested positive. And that basically was the impetus to shut down the league. But that was weeks ago before this possibility of the quick test and very fast results being generated even existed. So, like I say all the time, this changes from day to day. It is an exciting proposal. There's no doubt about it. To have all 30 teams, we all talk about it in normal times.
Yeah.
Having half of the major leagues here in Arizona for the month of March for spring training, what a blessing that is. And I know it's a lot different, and there's no public consumption of these games, but it would be pretty cool if this can happen. It would be pretty cool to have Arizona the center of the sports world.
It would be something that would be historic that we would look back 10 years from now and go, can you believe we did that or we were at the center of that? I think it'd be something that would be very powerful. I think that even though it might be going on in places where the coronavirus and the pandemic is still maybe raging, I think it would offer hope that, look, there's life, there's business as normal happening there, and they seem to be sustaining it. I think it's a win-win on a lot of different levels. There's a lot of logistical nightmares, but I'll let Major League Baseball figure that out themselves. They can do this if they can get commitment, and the commitment is basically going to be if you as a professional baseball player think it's okay to go and be sequestered away from your family for months upon a time. Now, I don't think they're going to lay it out there in terms of you're going to be done for 4.5 months. I don't think this is going to be a 4.5 month ordeal. I don't believe that one bit.
Because they're going to speed up everything? Look, nobody knows what's going to happen. Could they start the season in Arizona, and then as things get better and better, they go back to normal almost?
Exactly. You leave it open-ended. And so then either you can say baseline, this is what we're going to do, and then you get to a point, you reassess, you either continue playing games or you decide an end-game strategy to pull the plug. If you think you can't get back to big league ballparks and fans, maybe you reassess at a certain date, and at that date you put in a playoff formula for all the results up to that point in time. I think you can keep some of the stuff on the back open-ended, and it's a logistical nightmare, but Major League Baseball does not have a lot of options in front of them. No, most sports do not.
As somebody brought up online, two things. One, the hotel staff, will they have to also live in the hotel then?
Listen, I don't think that's what we're talking about here. I think what we're talking about here is if we're talking about acquiring a hotel for a team, say the Cleveland Indians come here and they take over a hotel, then I think they're probably going to have to be the ones in charge of running that hotel, because you can't have people working the hotel and going home.
So you're buying it out almost like it's a B&B or something.
I don't know how you don't, because everybody involved in this biosphere has to be fully in.
And the other question is, that somebody brought up, not a question, but you don't have to worry about the players leaving, because where are they going to go? The clubs are closed, the restaurants are closed, the bars are closed, stores are closed.
That reality is not stopping everyday people, Jared.
Yeah, I guess you're right. There's no beaches here.
I would say this. I really disagree with you, Vinny, on how many players are going to find this distasteful. I don't think many players would find this to be that different.
Distasteful is not the word I would use. I don't know what word I would use. I just think that it is going to be an issue for some. Now, the soundbite that I played, and I can play it for you again, Scott Van Pelt bringing this up, and Jeff Passan sharing an anecdote that he learned from a player. Here's that.
I can't possibly see any player saying, yeah, sure, I'll go sequester myself in a biodome for 4.5 months to play baseball and I'll see my family. There's no way in hell I can see that. But just going back to your initial point and the possibility that maybe more like...
I want to offer you an anecdote, actually.
Please.
Because, you know, I started hearing about this recently, and I wanted to run it by a couple of players. And I ran it by a player last night. And when I ran it by this player, he said exactly, I mean, almost word for word, Scott, what you said right there. And then this morning, he sent me a text. And he said, talked it over with my wife. She said if it means getting paid, I can do the 4.5 months.
Yeah, no. I think that's a big deal. And, you know, here's the other thing I thought about. The idea of maybe not staffing the hotel yourself. Don't you think there's some people out there who don't have jobs, who maybe had jobs, who would go, okay, you know what? I'll go run the front. I'll go work security at this hotel. Yeah, I'll be sequestered for as long as you need me to be. Don't you think the free market would make this possible?
I hadn't thought of that.
I mean, if somebody came to you hypothetically,
you can't walk in off the street and run the front desk at a hotel.
No, you can't do that.
But
you're not running a hotel. You're just basically keeping. I don't know what you would be doing. I do know that a kitchen would have to operate. These players would have to get fed, and all of that. They'd have to have probably some meeting rooms and all that kind of stuff. I don't know how much you'd have to staff a building like that. But if somebody came up to you and said, "Vinny, listen, the A's are coming here. We're gonna put the A's back in Phoenix Muni where ASU plays. We want to close the loop. You want to come do play by play for us for 4.5 months? Would you sequester yourself?"
I mean, I have another job. I mean, am I still employed here?
It's hypothetical.
It's just hypothetical.
Well, let me give you a hypothetical,
right?
Okay? Because I'm not trying to start a fight with you here, but when I consider all the people I know in my life that have the role of husband and father, very few people I've ever met in my life take those roles more seriously than you.
You are
a family guy. On a scale of 1 to 10, you're a 10.
Thank you.
So what if the bosses at Arizona Sports came and said, "We are to the point now, Bic, where we need you to broadcast, stay on the air, to do the show every day. But since you've been in the studio, we've set up living quarters in the studio, and you're going to need to do the show Monday through Friday and then live here on the weekends, and you can't leave for 4 months."
And if the corollary to that was that I would be doing something very important to people, for people, at a time of need, and if the corollary was if I didn't do it, that somebody else would, yeah, I'd probably do it.
Look, I got kids. You think I care where they're at?
Yeah, I don't. Maybe I'm underplaying.
That's kind of what you're doing now, Vince.
What?
You're sequestered in your apartment for weeks now.
Yeah, but that started long before I'd even heard of Corona. For me, quarantining is a lifestyle, really.
That's funny. I don't know, man. I think it's fascinating. I love the fact that it's actually happening. The fact that Major League Baseball had to publicly tap the brakes, I find to be incredibly encouraging. Because I think they're getting some backlash to this, and I get it and I understand it, and it's incumbent upon them, and that will make them even sharper in closing every loop that they think they have to cover. But the idea, the worry that these players are going to come here and turn Arizona into a COVID hotspot, I don't see that. If they are committed to being sequestered, and they would have to be, Major League Baseball's brand is on the line here.
Mm-hmm.
That so they'll take that commitment seriously. So I don't think they're going to be suddenly infecting the valley. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, but it's
and listen,
there's also kind of a built-in assumption that, you know, Arizona is a coronavirus-free zone, which is not the case.
That's not the case
whatsoever.
Either. And there's people who believe that a surge is coming here eventually.
Yeah.
And again, there are dissenters here. I've got a doctor who tweeted me earlier. I'll give you an idea of what he says here. He says, bring thousands of people from around the country here to Arizona when we do not have this pandemic under control. If you want to be a leader, please start telling people sports should not be a priority. Saving lives in Arizona should be a priority. If you want to make Phoenix like New York City with hundreds dying daily from COVID-19, then bring thousands of baseball players from around the country here to Phoenix. I love sports and it's driving me crazy not having them, but let's not make Phoenix into the epicenter of COVID-19 come June by having baseball here. That's from a doctor, okay? And that's his opinion. But it just speaks to whether or not Major League Baseball can do this in basically self-quarantine.
Yeah. As the voice of Arizona, KTAR News 92.3 FM has launched Arizona Open for Business, a landing page that lists local restaurants and service companies open for business. Visit ktar.com/openforbusiness to help support these businesses and to submit your own local business for inclusion. Or you can just text the word open to 411-923.
Doesn't mean that internally, both the league and in discussions with our players and the teams, we aren't looking at many different scenarios for restarting the season. But I think it honestly is just too early, given what's happening right now, to be even able to predict where we'll be.
Yeah, that is Adam Silver. Didn't have a lot of answers, didn't offer anything in terms of predictions either in his latest media availability, which happened last night. In fact, Adam Silver also went on to say this.
Essentially, what I've told my folks over the last week is that we should just accept that at least for the month of April, we won't be in a position to make any decisions. I don't think that necessarily means on May 1st we will be.
I think that's, you know, a realistic approach that the commissioner has taken. I also think, you know, we spent so much time talking about Major League Baseball and this return plan. Those two sports are in very different different realities, I think, right now. Obviously, there's been more of an effect of coronavirus on the NBA than any other sport. You'd agree with that?
I would.
In terms of high-profile players, number of organizations that have been affected by coronavirus, the NBA was at the forefront of basically a business shutdown in this country because of what happened with Rudy Gobert's positive test. And I know Adam Silver says we'd like to be part of the healing, part of the opening up of America again. And don't get me wrong, I think that also bleeds over to baseball. I think a lot of these sports do look at the optics, and this kind of piggybacks off the message you got from that doctor. I think there's a lot of sports that want to be that beacon of hope. We want to be the first ones back to serve as this knight in shining armor, for lack of a better term, for the sports fans of America.
And take advantage of a captive market, kind of thing.
And I trust me, this is my life, Bic. I want it to happen, but I only want it to happen if it's safe and feasible.
I know you're not being a Vinny Downer. I know that. I know that you're a skeptic, and your skepticism is very well-founded. I look at the NBA, and I think the NBA's got a lot of things working against it. I think the attitude of players is one thing. I think NBA players are, whether they know it or not, they're very spoiled. And the load management thing, I think, echoes that. Players that decide to load manage during the regular season aren't going to be all that motivated, in my opinion, to come running back to a sport under these conditions. I think NBA players have become very, very in tune to their own working conditions. Mm-hmm. And I think that's everything we talk about when we talk about the age of empowerment. But it'd also be different if the NBA had one city in a place where the pandemic was moderate and they had 12 basketball facilities that were in use by NBA teams at other points in the year and were just sitting there waiting to be used. So, you know what I mean?
How about, why don't some of these super billionaire owners should buy an island like Dana White's doing?
Yeah.
Set up 12 courts. Done.
Why don't we just put Jarrett in charge of the coronavirus thing?
The Clippers,
it's done.
The Clippers owner, what's his name? Steve Ballmer's worth like $40 billion. He probably has several islands with a tan like that.
Yeah. But well, Adam Silver doesn't spend much time there tanning, clearly. But you're right. The idea, look at what Dana White is doing, buying an island And apparently, private planes bringing fighters who have been tested for COVID-19 and passed, well, and having them fight on a private island.
Yeah, I think they, the NBA, in terms of, I don't even think you'd need that many facilities, quite honestly. And if you look at conference tournament season, for 2 weeks, Vegas hosts how many conference tournaments simultaneously?
Yeah.
They have the venues to do it. But I don't think you would need that many, which might make their bubble situation more feasible, because you could really run, you know, quadruple headers at three or four locations to satisfy your schedule.
Yeah.
And two of them are connected in Cox Arena and the Thomas and Mack Center. So,
but is that enough? Can you get back and play enough games without a lot of crowding going on if you're dealing with that kind of, because where are all the players going to be? I think it's a little different. I think they want to do it. And I don't mean to defame basketball players. I'm sure a lot of them would be willing to do whatever it takes to get back to the season. And as you're going to point out later, some of them, it sounds like, might need the money to do it. But as you both have pointed out, LeBron James is going to set the tone for this. And Rick Bucher is doubling down on the idea that, well, LeBron James wants no part of this kind of remote, weird conclusion to the season.
And here, to me, that there's going to be a lot of players that think like that. Because unlike baseball and the NFL, whose seasons haven't even started yet, the NBA played almost their entire season. And now they've had this three and a half week break.
Uh-huh.
The players are sort of just like shutting it down, whether they're trying to stay in shape or not. It's going to be really hard to get in the mindset to start everything up again once you've played an entire season and then shut it down for a month or 2 months or whatever it is.
That's an interesting point. NBA stopped on March 11th, and on that wild day that we're not going to ever forget, we're in the matter of a couple of hours. The Rudy Gobert thing happened. The president gave a press conference, and there was the Dow Jones just plummeting as he talked. And then Tom Hanks tweets out that he has coronavirus. Mm-hmm. And then the NBA season canceled. There were 259 regular season basketball games left when the NBA shut it down. So I think Jared's got a point. The fact that they had already ramped up, gotten past the All-Star break, gotten past that the midway point, gotten near the end, many of them had bankrolled a lot of money already, and boom, here you go. I think there's a faction of the NBA, nope, we're good. We're good until this all clears out. We don't need to get thrown back in the middle of all this. I think there's some of that going on.
Yeah, and I mean, we've talked about it before. I think, you know, with most of the regular season in the rearview mirror, how much jockeying for position was going to happen in this last group of games when you got such a large sample size? Could you ramp up without any games and just jump right into the playoffs? I don't know, but it's hard to say because players are affected differently. And Giannis is a big example. I don't know if you saw Giannis's quotes. He's like, "I don't have access to a hoop. I don't have one at my
home."
That's
right.
And
that's right.
All the other the public hoops are shut down.
That's
like
right.
A lot of players right now can step out to their backyard and start working on their games a little bit, or at least keeping their shot sharp. But many players don't have that capability.
And like I've said before, I don't know this obviously personally, but talking to NBA players, the cardio level that you have to be at to play NBA basketball at its highest level, it's a lot of work to get to that level of cardio, strength, and all that stuff. They've been off long enough now where some guys are out of shape.
Yeah.
And it would take a while to get them back. Is there, as a guy who works at an NBA facility, I'm curious, is there a cutoff point where the NBA could say, all right, you know what? We're going to do a tournament, but we're only going to have X amount of teams from each conference. Could you cut it off at two from each conference? Would that be fair? Could you cut it off at four? Where would be the line of delineation?
Everything's on the table, yeah. We'll circle back around to that because coming up next, we'll circle back around to baseball about this plan that's being rumored that involves Arizona. We'll be joined by ESPN Baseball Insider Buster Olney to talk about it next. It's Bickley and Marotta, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Bickley and Marotta, we roll on this Tuesday here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. A lot of discussion about Major League Baseball, this plan that's being bandied about as a possibility for a return to the sport that has a big Arizona feel to it. Here to talk about it with us from ESPN Baseball Insider, Buster Olney joins us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Buster, thanks for your time today. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, good to talk with you guys. Stay safe.
You too. There's so much, and you guys did a great job in an article that's out right now on ESPN.com, you and a couple of your colleagues asking or answering all the questions that people may have about this plan, because there's a lot to digest. I guess one of the first questions people have about this, Buster, is how far along is Major League Baseball in the implementation of this idea?
I thought Jesse Rogers, who's our colleague at ESPN, probably had the most concise line. He quoted an official saying, "It's the top of the first inning."
Oh, that's good.
Of a 9-inning game in terms of where they are in the planning. I had one team official say to me, "He thinks it's a waste of time at this point to talk about it because it's so far away." And right after Jeff's story posted last night, I got some response from the player side right away saying that there definitely be players that say, no, I'm not doing that, with the idea of being away from families for 4.5 months, some of the questions about the efficacy of it, trying to pull it off. And let's face it, some of the overall questions, I think, about where we are in the fight against the virus, there was a line in the story, it said, according to that they're health officials talking with people in baseball, and one of my questions was, and I've heard it from some agents today, hey, what were those health officials saying in January, February, and March, and where are they now? Because it sure as heck seems like that there's been a lot of uncertainty about how to deal with this, and it's been reflected in the actions of people at the state and federal level.
Yeah, that's interesting. What do you think is the biggest hurdle to cross for Major League Baseball? Is it the percentage of players who won't do this? Is it the idea that you're not going to be able to successfully play a sport in a bubble? What do you think is the biggest hurdle here?
Yeah, I think trying to create a biodome situation with the players would be the most challenging thing. From what I understand, the team basically it would be about 50 members for each of the teams. So you'd have 1,500 to start with, and then you start adding in media, and I don't know if groundskeepers and other people. And how do you keep all those people safe? And how do you assure players that they're going to be okay? And then you have the questions of how about all the baseball personnel who have underlying medical conditions that have been referred to so often in this, those people being more vulnerable, managers, coaches, even players who've had past medical histories where if one person gets infected in that group of 1,500 to 2,000 people, how do you contain the damage? I tweeted out over the weekend when there were first rumblings of this, if I were a player, one of my first questions about this would be, okay, so there's a plan about creating this biodome atmosphere and keeping these people involved. Does that mean the owners are going to be in that too? Right? If there's confidence that they can keep the players healthy, then the owners should feel comfortable being in there too. And if there's hesitation on the other side on that question, maybe that answers that gives you some insight into the thinking.
Buster Olney of ESPN, our guest here on Bickley and Marotta. I want to go back to the timing. I think this is a fascinating thing. And you use that phrase that Jesse Rogers wrote on ESPN.com, top of the first in a 9-inning game. But then also the initial report from Jeff Passan says early May could be a potential returning point. That's not that far off. I mean, we're into the second week of April almost. At what point would they have to, as a sport, get to the bottom of the ninth to have an early May possible return date, Buster?
Well, and I think that, there's no doubt that baseball would love to have a situation where one way or another they play a full complement of schedule, because let's face it, guys, among the four major sports, baseball is poised to take the biggest financial hit, to the point where it could be landscape changing, to the point where whenever the go sign does come, you might see a flurry of action right away, just as we did in the spring of 95 after the settling of the player strike, where teams are dumping players and teams are trying to dump contracts, small market teams in particular, to try to offset some of the losses. So there's going to be a push to try to get baseball back sooner rather than later. But you're right, wondering about the time frame in that, because if in fact you wanted to get baseball back for a full season, then you almost certainly would have to start by June 1st. Mm-hmm. And I tell you this, at the team level, there's a lot of skepticism that they could come up with something to do that, especially in the face of, you know, so many questions about keeping people, personnel, players healthy.
All right, let me flip this now. Say they decide to do this, and say they find a way to kind of keep everything on the rails and play games without fans in kind of boutique, smallish stadiums. What do you think it'll look good? Do you think it'll be inspiring? Do you think it'll be a powerful symbol to people in America?
I do, Dan, and that's, you know, I was covering the Yankees for the New York Times when 9/11 happened, and I can remember in the first 48 hours after the attacks, you know, being at Yankee Stadium and, you know, players on that team being really concerned and feeling like, you know, what are we doing here? You know, this is, we shouldn't even be playing sports. You know, it's time to take it to the house. But behind the scenes, the White House, President Bush was really pushing for baseball to get back and other sports to get back to create a sense of normalcy. And we saw, you know, the following week, Mike Piazza's game where he hits the home run, and then, you know, the postseason, the World Series, the Yankees and the Diamondbacks, how that absolutely was the case. There was a huge difference between that situation and what they're dealing with now is that I don't know if you can necessarily assure the players with a degree of confidence that that you can keep them healthy. You know, you can talk about Biodome, you can talk about you know, different testing that you might want to put in, but I think just based on my conversations on the player side today, that there's some doubt about whether or not that can happen. I do think that when it does come back, it's going to be a different-looking product, as one team official said to me. They feel like this is a chance for baseball to rebrand itself. You're going to see microphones on the field, players wearing microphones like we did in that All Access Week. If they do have doubleheaders, there'll be seven-inning games, which is something I think eventually baseball would want to get to a decade from now. You might see universal DH. You might see an electronic strike zone, as Jeff wrote in his story last night. I think Jameson Taillon of the Pirates said to me last week that, you know, right now in those conference calls they're having, no idea is considered to be a bad idea. They are absolutely trying to figure out a way to make the product as appealing as possible to a captive audience, which is just starving for any kind of distraction right now.
That makes me so happy to hear you say that, because I for the longest time have been such a fan of just take the most progressive measures possible to bring some action and to get the dawdling out of this game. Are you a proponent of a seven-inning game eventually? Do you see value in that?
If and I say this, I mean, first off, I'm happy just watching baseball, right?
Right.
I can see it, but I've got a 15-year-old son who is a crazy sports fan. You know, I live north in New York City, and his favorite teams are the Hornets and the Braves and the Titans. So he's a weird kid, but he loves sports. And I try to get him to sit and watch baseball with me, and he tells me it's boring. That week, and it just so happens, his favorite player is Freddie Freeman, and Freddie had that great moment with the microphone on where he's narrating his trip around the bases when he reads the center fielder losing the ball in the wind, and my son loved that.
Yeah.
And I think that that's where it needs to get to. I remember the first time I wrote about seven innings about 7 or 8 years ago, it was mentioned to me by a high-ranking club executive, and my gosh, the backlash to that column was huge. But in recent years, more and more you hear team officials say, you know what, we got to start thinking about making major cuts to the length of the games to appeal to people like my 15-year-old son,
yeah,
who just, in his world, everything moves so much faster.
Yeah, it's true. It's very true.
Buster, great stuff. Thank you so much for all the info and
you're
for
awesome,
spending some
bud.
Time with us today. We appreciate it.
I appreciate it, guys.
Thank you. Buster Olney, Baseball Insider, ESPN. He joined us on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Coulter, your family-owned dealership for Cadillac, Buick, GMC, Nissan, and Infiniti. Coming up next, was a star NBA player merely reading, or was he recruiting? That is the question. We'll get into it next. Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Dan Bickley, Vince Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
Which book would come to Philly? I'm just reading what's said.
There you go, man.
I'm just reading
That's
what's said.
Started.
I'm just reading what's said. I'm just reading what's said on my feed.
Whoa. I'm answering questions, even though that wasn't a question.
All right, we're starting.
Whoa. Pierce said it too. Pierce said, I wish Book
Let's go.
Comes to Philly. I didn't say it.
That's Ben Simmons of the Philadelphia 76ers.
That's good.
During a Twitch session playing Call of Duty, it starts out, and you might not be able to hear it, but the first thing he says, I'll play it for you again.
I wish Book would come to Philly.
I wish Book would come to Philly, and then spends the rest of that 32-second soundbite, Bick, trying to say, I'm just reading
I'm
what
just
other
reading
people
it.
Are saying
yeah,
on my feed.
Right. He kind of had that oh bleep moment where he realized he was tampering or getting into trouble.
Of course,
saying
people
things he shouldn't.
Yeah, of course, people pointed that out immediately on social media. He's tampering! He's tampering! But there was a lot of people, especially on the Philly side of things, that were like, yep, we feel that same way too, Ben.
Yeah, listen, I know that 76ers fans have jumped on this. And first of all, Philadelphia can't. They've got Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. They can't afford Devin Booker.
You can make anything work in
the NBA. I guess you're right.
Yeah, Ben Simmons, I wish Devin Booker could come to Philly. That might be for your job, Ben. I mean, that might cost you your spot.
Yeah, it's a good point, right? I don't know. I thought that was rather humorous, right?
I just think it's a situation, too. It was humorous to hear Ben Simmons try to moonwalk away from saying that on the Twitch stream. But, Devin Booker is a fascinating study in profile in the NBA. Because, obviously, Suns fans love the guy. I think the players and the personnel around the league love the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Fans outside of Phoenix are probably less than 50-50 on Devin Booker being a great NBA player. I'm fascinated by that just because of
there is a weird dichotomy there, isn't there? There is a disconnect, and Devin Booker even feels it. You know, going back to his All-Star appointment, he feels like he's appreciated by people in the game more than coaches and fans and people outside the game.
Yeah, he definitely made that clear with those quotes.
He did, didn't he, right?
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
So a little fun there. Mm-hmm. When does that 2K tournament, does it start up again tonight? Is that I think that's when it starts back up with the quarterfinals. DeAndre Ayton and Devin Booker both still alive in that tournament. You made reference to this earlier, and I ran across this today.
All right.
Jay Williams of ESPN on the boardroom talking to Portland Trailblazers guard C.J. McCollum. C.J. McCollum is one of my favorite players outside of Phoenix in all the league. In fact, if I wasn't a Suns fan, just based on the personnel they have on their team right now, it would be really hard for me to root against a team that had C.J. McCollum and Damian Lillard. I just think they're two solid guys and great players. But the subject of finances and how players are being affected financially, potentially, for this coronavirus shutdown, there was some startling projections made by C.J. McCollum. Listen to this.
I would say there's some guys in the league that are hurting right now because there could be a work. Obviously, the work stoppage is in place, but there could be a pay stoppage. We're on pace to lose about 23.5% of income off this season, and then we probably lost $1 billion, maybe even more, depending on if we're able to restart a season, which will affect the collective bargaining agreement and the BRI next season. So I think a lot of guys are going to be hurting, especially people on minimums or people that didn't just budget correctly, didn't expect this to happen. Maybe they loaned money or gave money to family. Maybe they're taking care of multiple people, and now it's a work stoppage for us and for a lot of people in America. So I would say out of 450 players, 150 probably living paycheck to paycheck.
150 of 450 players probably playing paycheck to paycheck. Now, that's his estimation. If he's anywhere close to that, that is absolutely mind-boggling.
It is.
And in these times, people are feeling the crunch. You know, I know a lot of people that have lost their jobs, that are on the verge of losing their jobs, that have taken pay cuts, that have been furloughed.
Mm-hmm.
The restaurant bar industry has just been absolutely decimated by this. So I don't want to be flippant in the fact that, you know, this is affecting a lot of people, but it is impossible for me, Bick, to feel bad about players that weren't prepared for this. And I felt the same way, you know, the famous quote, yeah, we make a lot of money, but we spend a lot of money too. It's impossible to feel that much sympathy for players that are just mismanaging their own funds, because it doesn't matter what you do for a living or how much you make, you still have a personal responsibility financially, do you not?
Yeah, do not spend more than you make. It's a fundamental lesson that you'd think everybody would learn at some point in time. The average NBA player's salary is $7.7 million. Now, keep in mind, there's no such thing as an average salary. It's the aggregate divided by the number of players, but mm-hmm. still, it's a big number. So if they're losing 25% or 27% of their pay, that means the average salary is getting knocked down to about $5.5 million. Players should not be struggling on that, but I think this is once again proof that the one thing about this system that is unique to professional athletes is they go from being stars in high school, maybe 1 year in college, and then suddenly they're in the NBA, and suddenly this massive paycheck starts coming to them twice a month, whatever it is. And they just think that's normal. That will never end. And way too many professional athletes fund the lives of way too many of their friends. Do you ever see that anywhere else? You know what I mean? Do you see a successful business executive suddenly just paying for 15 friends to hang around the house with him?
Just because he's got it?
Because he's got it? No, you don't see it. And I think it's just because this is happening and it's given to players at such a young age that it skews their view on reality. And then something like this comes and it's like, holy bananas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Paycheck to paycheck, that's frightening.
Well, and I know there's a lot of players that are on the minimum, which is still a good amount of money. There's players on less than the minimum. Those guys that are on the two-way contracts, G League, I get it. But, man, it's,
yeah.
When you hear what's going on financially in this country, just leave the health aspect out of it. Just financially in this country and the families that are devastated by this, I have a hard time feeling bad for the NBA player that's struggling paycheck to paycheck.
I know. It's the whole saving for a rainy day theory, Vinny.
Yep. Coming up next. You know what it is. The Bickley Blast is straight ahead. It's Bickley and Murata here on this Tuesday, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.